Hello, it's Monday, June 6th, and you are listening to the DreamStation.cc video game show. I am your host, Chris, and this is show number 8. If you have questions, comments, suggestions, flames, or feedback, please send us an email to videogameshow@dreamstation.cc, and also check out our website, www.dreamstation.cc, for video game news and reviews. So let me introduce the panel we have today. We have Keith.
Hello.
Bob.
Good evening.
And Chris.
Yo, ho, ho.
So, yeah, I want to change my hello now.
Today we are going to discuss Xbox 360 game prices, the poll that we had posted last week, the Phantom console showing on G4, Gutaragi attacking the Xbox 360, the voice actor strike prompted a response in game developers, impressions from E3, again, because we have Chris this week, the Nintendo Revolution strategy for legacy games.
Next topic.
Just like every other week, I get a lot of contacts from people saying that, why do we hate Nintendo so much?
Not this week. I'm here, and I'm the Nintendo fanboy.
There you go. We have a Nintendo fanboy.
Well, we could just make fun of Chris instead.
I'm going to repeat what we've said the last 80 times people say this. We don't really hate Nintendo. We're just not happy with their current situation. Okay, one of us hates Nintendo. The others of us actually like Nintendo. We're just not happy with where they're at right now, and I have some concerns about the direction they're heading. Never said the games weren't fun. As a matter of fact, as we've stated several times, Nintendo is what gets brought out when all of us get together anyway. So.
Next topic.
EB Games on their website have reported that the Xbox 360 is going to come out along with the games on, I think it was November 2nd. The surprising thing there is that the games are all going to be $60. What do you guys feel about $60 next-gen games?
It only makes sense that they charge more for these. I mean, they're going to be better games. Every other system, they've added, you know, $10 or so to the price, so they're just keeping with trend. Only problem is the next games that come along are going to be $70 and then $80, and I don't think $60 is to the point where I just will never buy a game again. I'll just buy only the games that I really like.
Yeah, because spending $60 for a game that's bad is really bad.
Exactly. You're going to be paying a lot more attention to if the games are good or not.
Do you guys think that people in general will start taking the safe route and buying sequels to games that were good before, and, you know, new games that are innovative will even have a harder time to sell?
I don't know that there is anything innovative right now. I don't see too many bestsellers that aren't sequels.
It's too much to pay for a I think so. Right now, I have a hard time paying $60 for a video game, even that's something that, if it's been heavily reviewed, everybody says it's sweet, and I'm just thinking, unless I'm going to play this thing for a good 3 months, I don't know if I want to pay $60 for it. I'm in college and poor, so I really don't take that as you will.
Before, it seemed like you would pay $60 for a game with a peripheral, like Time Crisis, where you got a gun you'd be willing to pay $60 for, but now it's going to be $60 for that little DVD
case. Yeah, if they came with handguns, that'd be sweet.
Every game comes with a handgun.
For that.
Did the Nintendo 64 cartridges, weren't those like $70 when they first come out? Console was $200. Super Mario 64 was $60. Pilot Wing 64, $60. The MSRP of the games at launch were $69.95. They just actually lowered the price down. Yeah, so they were $70 apparently. I don't remember that. My personal feeling is I'm disappointed, but it's like gas prices. I mean, I play so many games I need.
You just compared gas, which is a necessary that you can't get around not having, to video games.
Dude, I'm hardcore. It's not as important as gas, but stuff goes up. The prices are going to go up. It doesn't surprise me. Am I up in arms about a $60 game? Nah, I'm disappointed, but I'm going to pay $60, whatever.
Next topic.
The poll from last week was, how important is backwards compatibility in a next-gen console? We had not at all, somewhat important, very important, or just, hey, it's a bonus, but it's not really a deciding factor. 53% of the people said what I kind of suspected they would say, was that it's an extra bonus. It's not really a deciding factor. Nobody's really going to be that upset if this stuff isn't backwards compatible. The other three options, which would be very important, somewhat important, and not at all important, were split with 15% each. The general consensus says it's not a big deal. Some of the comments we got online, Redeema basically said that this is for the parents of Little Timmy. Little Timmy's parents can go and buy them a console, and he says, you know, I want a new console, and then the parents will ask, well, does this work with the old games? And the guy will say, yes, of course, then they'll be all happy. Delt Sniper said one of the reasons he got the PS2 was because it was backwards compatible, but realized that it didn't matter after the fact, because once the library of games for the PlayStation 2 grew, there was no need to play the old PlayStation 1 games anyway. Z36 said it doesn't matter, he's keeping his old systems, and basically because he's a collector. There's nothing like the feeling of picking up an old crappy NES controller. The one that gives you blisters on your hands because it was not ergonomic back in the day, I guess. That was a dig on Nintendo. You could have a drinking game. How many times we make fun of Nintendo every show?
You'd be wasted 10 minutes in.
They took that ergonomic design and made it into a Game Boy Micro.
Yes, they did.
You're not helping there, Mr. Nintendo fanboy.
Nintendo rock!
They had all that controller plastic stock laying around. They need something to do with it. Threw an LCD screen in the middle. Hello, there you go, Game Boy Micro.
You heard it here first. We've unveiled the secret conspiracy at Nintendo. What do we do with all these old stupid controllers? Nightsword had said that he's happy because of the limited space. He has tons of systems and cords and cables everywhere, and he would like to be able to just replace it with one system since it can play both games. Bob, didn't you and I try and play Tekken 3 way into the PlayStation 2 life cycle? Because I think you didn't have the PlayStation 2.
One of these things where it didn't look how you remembered it, and we got all pissed off and just kind of stopped.
I still remember when I saw the picture for the monsters and Dragon Warrior for the Nintendo. I was like, wow, those are awesome graphics.
I think that's the biggest problem is the new systems come out and the graphics look so much better. Now, I don't know about gameplay, but the graphics look so much better that you don't want to look at the ugly graphics anymore. I mean, Tekken 5 came with Tekken 1, 2, and 3 on it, and I went in and looked at them. And I was like, man, this looked that bad back then, but we thought it looked amazing back then.
Tekken 3, you sicken me. Leave my sight.
Quit complaining. If you want to play the old games, keep the old systems. We buy the new systems because we want to see the new games, and don't kill yourself with backwards compatibility. Because, honestly, like you said, in a year's time or whatever, once there's a library of games, it's a non-point.
The question for next week that I'm going to post on the forums is going to be, is $60 too much for video games? Yes or no? You can find it if you go to www.dreamstation.cc. On the left-hand side, there will be a link to the forums under the general discussion. I will have this poll posted. I will read comments similar to the way we've been doing it for the past 2 months.
Next topic.
Let's talk about the Phantom Game Console. The Phantom Game Console, they just had a thing on G4, and the COO of Infinium Software came on with the Phantom Console on Attack of the Show, and they did like a 5 or 10 minute segment, and it was basically exactly how you would expect a 5 or 10 minute segment to be on the Phantom Game Console. They didn't show any gameplay. They showed a very basic UI for their Phantom game service, whatever they're going to call it. They had a section that you could buy new games. You could play games that were currently on your hard drive. The two titles that he did have installed were Thief Deadly Shadows and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which begs to the question about what are they going to be playing. He didn't answer anything specific. Kevin Pereira mentioned been lawsuits. The dates have been pushed back several times. This is kind of, he didn't come out and say it, but he hinted at the fact, come on, you guys realize that this is a joke in gaming circles. The guy said, yes, we kind of know. Look, it's real. He asked, is this a real thing or is this a joke? He like banged on the plastic case and he said, yeah, look, it's real. See, it's right here. They didn't answer any real questions like what games it would have at launch. Why weren't they at E3 this past year when they were at the 2004? They didn't get into any of the rumors about, people from Infinium had said, we don't think we're going to be able to make the console. We don't have enough capital. We need like $11 million more or something like that. He didn't even ask that question. So,
The COO of Infinium Labs is Kevin Bacchus.
He did ask specifically how much it was going to cost and when will it come out. And the answer to both those questions was soon. We're going to revamp things. He asked, all right, well, the specs. What's up with the specs? Because you guys released specs like 2 or 3 years ago, and they don't really stand up to today's computer specs. This Kevin Bacchus guy said,
blah, 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 blah.
He did that. A little clown came out, a little tambourine and a trumpet. He was fighting with the midget that was sitting in the console, making the little icons move around when the guy pretended to move his mouth.
Did they physically show something playing on it? They had Unreal Tournament 2004 or 2003 running on it last year at E3, I remember.
Right. What he did now was he opened it up and he actually purchased Thief Deadly Shadows. It streamed to his console while they were just shooting the breeze. He opened it up and started it. It showed the little NVIDIA splash screen. It showed, this thing is powered by Creative Labs 24-bit audio, blah, blah, blah. And then right when it was going to actually go into the gameplay, the monitor they had in the background,
it crashed.
It flipped over to the Attack of the Show logo. But no, he did not get into any gameplay at all. I was trying to watch his hand because, I don't want to start any rumors. We're not about that. But it seemed like he wasn't really controlling the mouse, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure we are.
Yeah, we are.
I think it's legit and actually a system that's real, but will it ever come out? I don't know.
I think it will see the light of day. I mean, if they're still going on, Attack of the Show and trying to demo it, obviously enough people have invested money in this that you know, they want to at least attempt to get some type of profit from it. So, but I think it will be a total horrible failure, especially probably the reason they didn't demo it, because they saw what the PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 could do, and were just like, crap.
He did ask, he said, hey, E3 2005 had the Xbox 360, the Nintendo Revolution, and the PlayStation 3. Dude, those consoles blow this thing away. I mean, he didn't say it in those words, but the guy just kind of sighed and said, well, you know, we're really not going to compete with the next-gen gaming console. It's kind of like a cable provider. We're not going to replace your DVD player. We're going to enhance the situation. We're going to charge you $300 for an extra thing that you're going to play old crappy PC games on. Xbox is going to have this Xbox Arcade, which will allow you to play like old retro arcade games. He actually did make a joke on air about, you know, ha ha ha, who wants to play Ms. Pac-Man? Well, dude, you're showing me Ninja Turtles and Thief Deadly Shadows. I don't give two craps about either of those games.
Next topic.
E3 impressions. Chris, you did go to E3, and we weren't able to get scheduled you to get on the show, so give us your E3 impressions, please.
It sucked.
You're not the only one to say that, actually.
No, I mean, let me put it in perspective. I've been there the last 7 years, so maybe I'm getting a little jaded on the whole show in general. You know, I talked with Ben, who was also there. This was his first time there, and he even seemed, maybe he was holding it in, but he didn't seem as excited as what, you know, maybe I thought he would be, or even what he thought he would be. You know, he said, he related it to, he said it kind of like going to the Super Bowl. He said, you know, you want to get tickets to the Super Bowl because it's really hard to get tickets to the Super Bowl, but once you're at the Super Bowl, you kind of realize it's just a football game. You know, so it was good, but I think part of the problem was I didn't really see that many innovative games, and like you were saying earlier, Chris, the innovative things in the video game industry are getting far in between, because it just seems like, you know, even games like Katamari Damacy, you know, that last year was really cool and innovative, where you rolled around and picked things up with this big ball, and it was a strange game but innovative. This year they had Katamari Damacy 2, which is not really innovative anymore because it's the same game, just a sequel. It was a lot of sequels I saw, you know, the new Need for Speed game, the new Burnout game, shooter games, army games, you know, just every game seemed like it was something I've already seen before. Right now, my impression of E3 wasn't that great. You know, I wasn't that excited about it. Nintendo, you know, had the Game Boy Micro, which it's neat, and I think it'll probably sell, but, you know, I don't think I'm going to buy it because I have, you know, a Nintendo DS and a Game Boy Advance and a Game Boy SP. The Xbox 360, like I said, looked good graphics-wise, some of the stuff, but even it looked like a high-end PC to me more than the next generation of game systems. And
you're not the only person that has said E3 kind of wasn't living up to the hype. I was even talking to Keith. I was really, really pumped, and that's one of the things that I do want to do, is go to E3, being a gamer for all these years. It's just kind of like you said with the Super Bowl, it's like the Mecca. It's the big thing. I'm not so sure anymore, because it's an awful lot of money to go down there, and for us coming from Ohio all the way out to L.A., it's just a big pain, hotel, crowd, for
yeah,
what?
I mean, and that's what happens too at E3. There's tons of people there. There's people there that, you know, they probably shouldn't be in the show, but they're there, and they're taking up space on the floor. They're playing the games like it's a free arcade. You know, you're standing in line for 10, 20, 30 minutes to play a game. Every booth is trying to outdo the other one with louder music, more booth babes, and, you know, more lights and everything. You know, everything they're trying to do is to attract you to stay in their booth as long as possible.
G4, again, I'm not a humongous G4 fan, but they had decent coverage at E3. I saw all the demos, I saw all the trailers, I saw all the games. I didn't miss a whole lot sitting in the comfort of my own home, watching TV for an hour or two at night. Wasn't a big deal.
E3 this year, it was fun. It was glad to be there. We do have the photos on the website, I think Chris mentioned before, if you guys want to check it
booth
out.
Booth babe photos, yes.
I took photos, and, well, we have more than just booth babes.
We do. That's the best part of E3.
Yeah, we do, actually.
Those booth babes are just sequels of the booth babes they had last year. There's nothing innovative about them.
Yeah, they're just sequels last year. It's just the same girl, 1 year older. It was just not as exciting as previous years.
Next topic.
PlayStation is still attacking Xbox. Kutaragi is attacking the Xbox 360. He said the Xbox and Microsoft is not a threat. It's kind of like accidentally winning a point from a master karate. He's calling it Xbox 1.5. I guess my only comment on here is that when you come out and you're talking trash as the CEO or whatever he is of PlayStation 3, you look like a complete jack-off, and you just look like you're resorting to name-calling. I mean, if you aren't really worried about him, why would you even bring him up? Why would you mention him?
Exactly.
Next topic.
So last week we had reported that the voice actors for video games had a strike because they basically wanted more of the profits. Well, their strike prompted the video game developer to respond and saying that, haha, that's a joke. You guys are getting $270 plus an hour, and doing a half a day's voiceover work does not entitle you to getting residuals on, you know, number of units sold, etc. There's this whole big thing about a person called EA Spouse, who kind of let everybody in on really the work conditions that are at these big game companies. Crunch time is all the time. They're constantly making bad decisions. These guys are living, eating, sleeping, and breathing there. They don't have time for the family. You're getting burned out. So the long and the short of it is developers are pissed because of these voice actors. Now, being a developer myself, I can completely understand that. You don't get any credit anyways. I develop products for my company. My name isn't anywhere on that. It's just the company's name. I don't get any credit. I don't get any of the glory or the fame. They're kind of the prima donna part of it. You're the voiceover actor. You're the guy that gets more credit than the game developers do. Yeah, if you're going to give incentives to anybody, it should be the guys working 2 years on a title, not the guy coming in for half a day.
Now, the bigger name voice actors, when Patrick Stewart do the voice for X-Men Legends, I wonder if he gets the same, you know, pay?
I don't think those guys are in the video game voice actors, whatever, if they have their union or whatever. I don't think some of these bigger names probably have different contracts. They're not getting the standard package, I wouldn't think. All speculation,
yeah, yeah.
Of course.
I would think so, too. I would think Patrick Stewart comes in to do Professor X and X-Men Legends. He's probably not going to be in the same league as the people that are... I don't want to call
zombie
them no
number
names,
four.
But you know, people that are trying to get their name out there. Yeah, exactly. You know, trying to do their voice. You know.
Next topic.
The Nintendo Revolution. George Harrison, not the Beatle, was reported in an interview that they were talking about the retro games, the legacy games that Nintendo was going to have, where you can download their entire 20-year library of games and play them on your Nintendo Revolution. Prices are not set, so don't misquote me on this one, but they want downloads of their first-party stuff to be free. They also don't agree with the fact that every time you go on the internet, you're going to get charged for every little thing, going to get nickel and dimed. So they want that price to be as low as humanly possible. So that's good. I think this is the right idea. I think, you know, at this point, like we've kind of talked about, and again, Nintendo is not in the forefront. Nintendo is not the industry leader right now in console hardware. They may have the handheld market. They got to do every little thing to kind of get in there. Back catalog of 20 years of gaming is a good idea to do it. I'm concerned. I mean, they're not going to give this stuff away. You're not going to be able to just download every game that Nintendo's ever had for free. I really doubt that that's going to, you know, that's not going to make Nintendo any money. Speaking of money, Nintendo is still a profitable company. They're not non-profitable. It's just compared to the other, you know, the Xbox sales numbers and the PlayStation is leading the way right now in sales numbers. Nintendo is third.
I think I actually read about a year ago or so that Nintendo, I don't, maybe up until GameCube, and I'm not even positive with GameCube, Nintendo has never lost money on a hardware sale. You know how Sony and Xbox always say that they don't make any money on the hardware and they make it back in software?
This including,
well, I guess,
like,
Nintendo has never lost money on their hardware.
This including like Virtual Boy and the Power Glove and Robbie the Robot and stuff?
I think so.
Wow.
I think, well, at least the systems-wise, hardware systems, they were saying they'd never lost money on it. So, you know, I mean, I think they know what they're doing, and that's why they are a profitable company still. And I think that download option, you know, you got to remember that Nintendo, you know, I hate that stereotype that Nintendo has as being for kids. And it has more than just kids' games. You know, I mean, it has Resident Evil and has the different first-person shooter games and whatnot. Even Metroid Prime probably isn't, you know, for kids, I'm guessing. They aren't just for kids, but they do have a lot of kids that buy Nintendo systems, and the parents probably buy Nintendo systems for the kids because they know Nintendo, and kind of that might have been the system they had when they were a kid, so they think, you know, PlayStation, I don't know, that's more for adults. Xbox, yeah, maybe that's more for adults. No, Nintendo, that's for kids. Well, then you have the kids coming in, you know, a kid that 5 or 6 has never played any of those old games. So yeah, if they, you know, give them away for free, or if they charge, you know, $5 a piece, those kids are probably going to be interested because they've never played them before. Granted, we as, you know, older adults say, you know, what the heck are they releasing that game that I played, you know, 10 years ago on regular Nintendo? Why are they releasing it again and trying to get our $5? Well, I don't think they're trying to sell it to us. I think they're trying to sell it to the kids that are 5 years old and just getting into video games. So maybe these classic games for Nintendo will be a good idea because the kids can start with a little bit easier game that's a 2D side-scrolling game like Mario and work their way up from there for a cheap price, I guess. Viva la revolution!
And you brought up a lot of good points. I think I just went to Nintendo's www.nintendo.com, and I'm looking here at Zelda, who is trying to get away from the kid stereotype. But then I see Donkey Konga, I see Hugo the Evil Mirror, Popeye the Rush for Spinach. If you're trying to get away from it, you don't put friggin' Popeye Rush for Spinach ad on your site. You hide that puppy in page 4. But you're right, they do. I mean, Resident Evil, the new Star Fox is not really totally geared toward kids, even though it is kind of cartoony. The Star Wars games are out, but I think the whole thing with Nintendo is first-party games. I mean, Resident Evil wasn't a first-party game, or not even first-party, exclusives. PlayStation had Grand Theft Auto for exclusive for a year, however long that they have it. Nintendo makes Donkey Kong, Metroid, Zelda, and the whole Mario slew of stuff. And they're embracing that
and
still.
And Pokemon. Don't forget
Pokemon. Pokemon. Yes, thank you. They're still embracing
that. Don't forget Pokemon.
That. They're embracing WarioWare. Get something dark. Get, like, Super Evil game and market it towards adults. I mean, yeah. Resident Evil is definitely not for little kids. Resident Evil 4, which I haven't played yet, I hear it's a really, really good game. But again, it's not first party. I think that's part of the reason why there's this stereotype that it's for kids. And then, like you said, we grew up with this stuff, so when we were growing up playing Dragon Wario and Mario Brothers, we were kids, so this kind of stuck.
But you look at, and Nintendo does have some games that are coming out that are more, and they're first party. They have a baseball game coming out. I'm trying to figure out, I see that International Golf and Tennis on there. It says it's by publisher Ignition, so maybe that's not a Nintendo exclusive type game, but they have other games, some of their standard Mario games they're bringing out, like Mario Strikers, which is a soccer game with Mario, and Mario Baseball they're bringing out. You know, I don't blame them for with that theme of Mario. I mean, the problem is there's a lot of people that are adults, I'm guessing, that as soon as they see Mario or they see Pikachu in a game or they see, you know, Donkey Kong, they're like, oh, that's dumb. That's not, you know, that's a kid's game. Well, no, it doesn't have to be. It's just got cute animated graphics. I mean, Hot Shots Golf Open Tee for PSP that I was working on a review for. I mean, that game's a really good game, but there's probably a lot of people that are going to pick it up and say, this game sucks because it doesn't look realistic and it's not Tiger Woods or whatever. It's these big-headed animated characters that look cute. In doing that, they're going to miss a pretty decent golf game. I don't know why everybody's decided that a game to be for adults has to be realistic looking and dark and drab and violent. We've had a bunch of people over here and had a party and had a great time playing Super Monkey Ball. Well, you know, Super Monkey Ball doesn't look like an adult game. You know, I mean, that's a great game, and it's a cutesy game. Another game that's really good that didn't get much credit at all was Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg for GameCube. I mean, that game is really good and a lot of fun, and you're rolling a big egg around, and you got a guy that's dressed up in a chicken suit. I mean, but so that's a fun game, and it's actually pretty innovative, too, compared to a lot of other stuff I've played. And that's a GameCube game, so there you go. I'm back on the GameCube wagon.
Maybe we could talk to getting your fanboy status reinstated. I'm not kind of pulled through for them here at the end a little bit more than in the beginning of the show. Mario Kart is one of my top 5 games all-time favorite.
All they need is to give Pikachu a gun. They need to give Pikachu a gun. Bob would buy it. He would buy it if Pikachu had a gun. He should be able to, like, fry people's skin off with his electrocution mode.
There you go.
You know?
Pokemon.
he has to have the background of every anti-hero is, like, from a small village in the northern province of China, and his entire village was slaughtered by some warlord. He was the only one to survive with only, like, you know, one tail or something.
Yeah, if any game companies do want to contact us, Bob is available for work. He can write scripts for games as well as some of the animation.
Give Mario and Pikachu a gun and have a deathmatch game with them, and you're, you know, with lots of blood and guts, and all of a sudden everybody will love it.
Super Smash Brothers, they're fighting each other. Again,
no, but that was not
awesome,
like, the blood and guts.
No, it wasn't blood and guts. No fatalities.
Yeah, it was a really good game.
Well, you have been listening to show number 8. If you have any email that you want to get in touch with us, videogameshow@dreamstation.cc is our email address if you need to get in touch with us about anything. I would like to say thank you guys for listening. We're getting more and more listeners every week. Check out the website, www.dreamstation.cc. Video game news, reviews, you can set up your podcast feed, and hopefully we will see you guys back here same time next week. You guys got anything else?
I haven't eaten yet, so I'm going to go get a ham sandwich.
Ham
now,
sandwich, right. Good one, good one.
There you go. Thank you.
Take care, guys.